you would get your bulletin out and read with me James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Here we go. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that you would allow me to be your voice and maybe mirror what you would want us to hear today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people are like a person who catches a glimpse of him or herself in a mirror, but departs, having observed only the externals. Many not only look, but gaze at how they appear. They do not look at how they really are. And it will take a deeper look at ourselves this morning in a mirror. We can all take a look at it. Jesus said that he came to bring us fullness and abundant life. And the mirror that I want us to look into is the mirror of who Jesus is. Mirror gazing at externals is a game of seeking attention. It is a time-consuming game to avoid knowing ourselves, God, and others. Mirror gazers are anxious about appearance. One of the things about worship is that it's a way of seeing this game for what it really is and looking beyond appearances. Because sometimes nothing is as it appears. I have another cut from a movie. It's a little bit more grim, since this is a grim fairy tale, than the one that we just saw in the cartoon. So if you guys would show that. Comes from Snow White and the Huntsman.
Mirror, mirror, on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?
You, my queen, yet another kingdom falls to your glory. Is there no end to your power and beauty?
It gets a little bit more once something happens and Snow White comes of age.
Mirror on the wall, who is fairest of them all?
My queen, on this day, one has come of age, fairer even than you. She is the reason your powers wane.
Who is it?
Snow White.
Snow White? She is my undoing?
Be warned. Her innocence and purity is all that can destroy you. But she is also your salvation, queen. Take her heart in your hand, and you shall never again need to consume youth. You shall never again weaken or age.
Immortality.
This is a grim fairy tale, actually. And in that story, she asks, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?" And she receives the satisfying answer that she is the most beautiful woman in the land, until the little girl with the black hair grows into the radiant Snow White. Of course, the jealousy of the queen is apparent even to children who love the story of the young girl who is beautiful both inside and outside. And the queen's mistake was that she looked only at appearances. And mirrors only show us the outside. She failed to see the beauty that was in the girl and that it's only skin deep. Therefore, she refused to examine herself. She looked at herself horizontally in comparison with other people, and therefore she missed the deeper meaning and level of life which comes when you begin to view yourself vertically in relationship with Jesus. Her basic question was, how do I compare to other people? Her basic goal was, I want to be first. And so it was a horizontal comparison. Now, if you're a normal human being, you have spent some time in front of the mirror. I got up this morning and I realized I needed a little work. Teenagers spend a considerable time in front of the mirror doing all kinds of things besides combing their hair. All of us occasionally step in front of a window and we glance to see ourselves. We notice whether the dress is straight or a tie needs to be adjusted. I don't know if you've ever got caught in the act of standing in front of a glass window looking at yourself, but if you have, then you know you were probably a little bit embarrassed by the whole thing. And of course, we're all interested in how we appear, and that's only how it should be, but the more important question is, what are we really on the inside? The mirror of the Word of God reflects that. Jesus, who is the Word of God, really is the mirror that we should be looking into. And as we worship God and you come to church and you hear the Word of God, we are given an opportunity to take a good look at ourselves in the mirror that Jesus is, and we can look at the appearance of the inner self. And if we don't like what we see, then what we can do is deny it. We can deny the truth. And we can quickly forget what we have seen. And like the passage here in James says, we can just get busy and walk away from it. But that only helps us in our already self-defeating patterns of living. And it's only when we really take a good look as God sees us that our lives can find true life. Now, on occasion, I've had an opportunity to talk with people, both men and women, who are actually quite good looking. And in some cases, their attractive appearance has been something that has got them into serious trouble, since people have judged them superficially because they have a pretty face or they're a handsome countenance. They have come to have inflated opinions of themselves, which doesn't match with the reality. All you have to do is take a look at Hollywood and watch it a little bit, and you can see this same thing happen. Often the attractiveness can become a barrier to real integrity because it never looks past the front. On the other hand, a number of average-looking people or unattractive people have told me of their inferior feelings, which have come from the judgment of others or themselves, many times from childhood. You know, a pretty girl attracts a lot of attention from teachers, parents, and friends. But what of the shy, unattractive young lady who nobody notices? And I always think of the movie The Incredibles with the daughter that was always kind of hid. You know, the unattractive one is, she's a person also, but yet very early in life she gets the impression that she's second rate in some form or fashion, and she feels low, has low self-esteem because of the way people treat her. And this is often not her fault, since judgment is also always based on outward appearances rather than what may be on the inside. Now, I talk of women here or females here, but it also happens to boys as well. It's just not as noticeable the one that always got me was being picked last for the baseball or basketball team. Sometimes the ugly duckling, which basically is what you've got here on the front, can turn into a beautiful swan, but is unable to throw off the childhood belief that she is not very pretty. It's a problem of self-acceptance and self-esteem, and to judge oneself by what a physical mirror says or to judge others by what seems to be the exact opposite of the loving self-acceptance which we need and which others need from us. God does not accept us on the basis of appearance. He really doesn't. When Samuel went to the house of Jesse to look for the next king, Jesse had a bunch of boys and he brought them all by him. And a couple of them were big, strong, handsome dudes. And he said, "You got any more sons?" And he said, "Yeah, the youngest, the smallest, he's out in the field. His name was David." See, God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks on us from the inside out. And only as we face ourselves realistically can we accept his acceptance. Some people never get around to what I call real repentance, which is to change yourself because of false confidence or because we feel so insecure. We try to cover up our lack of self-acceptance. We do it with masks. But one of the things that we always need to do is we really need to look in the real mirror, who is Jesus. Because a lot of this stuff starts real early in our lives. And if others accept us, then we learn to accept ourselves. But if we aren't accepted, we have all kinds of obstacles to overcome in the process of building a good self-image. You know, a little boy who is continually told that he is bad will come to believe that he is bad. And since I'm bad, I guess I'll act in a bad way. If his home life is bad enough, it will totally distort his personality. And he can end up in prison or dead. It is also possible for someone who has not been accepted as he is in early in life to find acceptance as an adult. If you find the right person, sometimes a loving marriage partner or a friend or a minister can help you some ways. But the fact of the matter is, until you get into the presence of Jesus Christ and look into the mirror that he shows you, you're not going to find that self-esteem that you need. Also, one of the things we also need to realize, if we don't come to him realizing we're guilty as charged, then we will not ask for real forgiveness and repentance. I know that if you really talk to him, then he will say, "I know, but I can make you free." You know, one of the things about confession is not always confessing just sin. Sometimes it's confessing our attitudes and the way we look at ourselves. And we look in the mirror and what we see is the reflection that we give ourselves, but we never ask Jesus, "Who do you say that I am?" And one thing about worship, and worship is coming here, but this is a worship service. True worship includes an honest self-look and self-acceptance. And the mirror on the wall is really Jesus. Look beyond that which seems to be what actually is by looking at yourself in the light of Jesus. And if he accepts you, you can accept yourself. Jesus is the deep, clear mirror who reveals who we really are. You know, God is not basically better or higher than we are. He is so different from us that really all comparisons become absurd. True humility before God isn't a matter of crouching down and saying, what a low person I am. But it's really standing up and realizing that we are in no comparison with Him. Repentance is really a matter of getting our eyes off ourselves and getting our eyes on the Lord. And when you look in the mirror and you see who Jesus is, then you begin to get the self-examination that you really need and not the gentle appearances that we get from other people. Self-examination is serious business, but it is not morbid either. You know, C.S. Lewis became a Christian as an adult, and he wrote a spiritual autobiography, and it was called Surprised by Joy. And one of the things that he discovered was that when he realized that he was guilty of all the sin, and when he did the self-examination, he came to know the delight that God accepted him as he was, and that brought joy. And really, in our society, joy is a lost emotion. Joy is not just being happy. You don't find real joy in our orientation of life, which is just around other people. Where you say, well, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Do I even rank? Real joy is coming to the Lord Jesus and realizing that He is the one who gives us worth. He is the one who gives us esteem. And so joy is something that is like measles. It's contagious because you get it on the inside. Have you ever thought about this? Do you enjoy life? You see, joy is the echo of God's love in us. And true worship is the examination of ourselves, and it results in repentance and self-acceptance and true joy. Have you ever been around somebody that it was just a joy to be around? If you think about it, why is that person like that? Why do you feel joy when you're near them? Joy is what we get from God. The letter of James, which is scripture which we read here, emphasizes action in this mirror illustration. Someone who just makes a superficial glance into a mirror or a glass window will not be a changed person. But someone who examines him or herself before the reflecting mirror that Jesus is. And I mean like it is. Like in the story, he talks to you. Jesus in the mirror. Then they don't forget that image. And they don't just walk away from it. They are able to get something on the inside. You know, we call, when we go to worship, and one of the old $25 words that the church uses, liturgy. Like when we read the call to worship and do that prayer and stuff, that's liturgy. It's a $25 word that comes from the Greek language that literally means service. That's what it means. We serve God on Sunday morning by our singing, by our prayers, by response to the message that you hear, by our participation in the things that we do, which is our service or our liturgy. That's why we call it a worship service, by the way. We serve God during the week by the way we live. And that is also our worship. We are invited to worship in life by living with an attitude of gratefulness and extending the same acceptance to others which Jesus has given to us. In other words, one of the things we're called to do when we're out there is we're called to show them the mirror. and that mirror is not the reflection of you or even the reflection of them. That mirror is the reflection of Jesus in you touching them. True joy. You see, we go forth from the church building into the field in which we live. That's where our real worship service is. Worship means action and service in the world as well as self-examination. I have in your bulletin the story of Zacchaeus, and I would like for us to read it together. Here we go. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not, on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded any one of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus. Now, I don't know who you think of whenever I read this story, I think of Danny DeVito. I just don't know. He just seems to be the right guy for the story, you know? He was looked down on by all his friends, if you could call them friends. He was a Jew who had sold out to Rome. He was a traitor to his own people. He collected taxes for the enemy. And the title tax collector is always connected with sinner in the New Testament. And that's because the tax collectors of Jesus' day were considered the lowest of the low. They were the bad guys. They not only betrayed Jerusalem by working for Rome, they also collected more than was required from the people, and they got rich in the process, and so there they were. And one day Zacchaeus hears that a new prophet had come to town, and there was so much excitement about him that Zacchaeus was determined he wanted to see this guy. But the crowd was so large he couldn't get close enough to see him, and since he was short, he was Danny DeVito, he couldn't see him. He was a small man. He was nimble, so he climbed up in a tree. And when Jesus passed by, he looked up, and the tax collector said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go spend some time at your house today." And down he came. Now, it was unheard of that this new prophet should come to his house. Yet Jesus had often eaten with tax collectors and sinners and other shady individuals, to show that God's mission was to the lost of the world. And when Jesus talked to him and invited him to discipleship, Zacchaeus' senses, his acceptance, he repented of his sin, and he felt a great joy. And we can all admire his change of heart. But then he did something that was really out of the ordinary, you might say. He focuses on what he was going to do with his life. And it really is a story to help us really kind of examine where we are in terms of our worship service in our lives. He gave away 50% of his income to the poor. He began to pay back four times as much as he owed to the people that he had cheated. He did not glance in the mirror and then forget the new image that he saw, because when Jesus called him down, Jesus was the mirror for Zacchaeus to look into. And he did not forget what he saw. And he said, "What can I do to show how grateful I am?" William James said that religion is either a dull habit or it's a passionate fire. And I agree with that. It's very difficult to be just lukewarm. It either burns in you or it's nothing. And I found that to be really the truth. For Zacchaeus, it was fire. He was glad to tell the good news of what had happened to him. You know, Jesus got in front of him, and he was the mirror for that little man. And that little man got bigger when Jesus showed him the mirror. He was glad to tell the good news of what had happened to him. He was glad to give his resources to those who needed it. He was glad to make right what was wrong in his life. Christian reflection, without action is dead. That's what James was saying. He said, be doers, not just listeners. And that's really what God wants in every age. What do you see in the mirror when you look? Doers, not just listeners, not just pointers either. You know, that's what God invites us to be. The person who stands on the corner or the paths and points the way but does not go is just a pointer. He's a road sign on the paths of life. Actually, that's what he is. He's just a road sign. You know, our church building, the fact that it stands here in this community, and when people come by on Airport Road or up this, they'll see the church. And they see it. And that is a sign of God's presence in the world, the church building. But the church is people. More specifically, the church is you. And are you standing on the corner pointing to God? You know, the church is people. If you're just pointing to God, then you might as well be a sign, or you might as well just be this building. If you think that you cannot do what is needed, that is because you're thinking too much about your weakness and you don't see the real image in the mirror. You're not thinking about God's strength and what he can accomplish. Christ is calling us to do. Become his servants, and you do it each day in your own lives, and that is your worship, because that's what worship means, to serve. And if you're just pointing the way, well, you might as well just be the building. When you look in the mirror, make sure you look in the mirror, the right mirror. And remember that Jesus is on the other side of that mirror looking at you. And just as in Snow White, especially the cartoon, the mirror talks to you if you really let it. And he will say one thing about your life, and he'll also say, take my hand. Let's go into this world in which we live and do our worship, which is our service. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us to see the mirror. One of the reasons we come to church is to look into the mirror and see who's looking back at us. And I ask that you would help us to see Jesus in that mirror. In his name we pray. Amen.